hazard the concept of marriage between Amadi and non-Amadi is controversial in many societies for the simple fact that, I mean, whenever a non-Amadi establishes a relationship with an Amadi, there's a likelihood that the Amadi will go astray. But wherein there is a possibility of converting the non-Amadi partner to Amadia, should there be a compromise?
Compromise on what? Compromise on what?
On that sort of marriage.
Which marriage?
No, well, actually, I'm with the understanding that an Amadi boy,
yes,
is allowed to marry an Amadi girl, non-Amadi girl.
Yes.
But the Amadi, girl is not allowed to marry a non-Amadi boy.
Boy, correct.
For the simple fact that, it is easier to, women have sort of weaker willpower.
That's right, yes.
Right. But there's a possibility for the woman to convert the man. Should that be a compromise? To convert the man into...
You see, that is a compromise in religion, which is not permissible. Because to make marriage instrumental to converting others to the religion of one party is in principle objectionable. You see? It's not the right way of spreading a faith at all. Because if you have the if you convert somebody for the sake of the wife, then his religion will only carry meaning in the family relationship no more, not to God anyway. It will have no meaning to God. That is why the Holy Prophet ﷺ has mentioned that innama al-amalu binniyate. The actions will always be judged by the intentions. And the intentions make actions. In the explanation of this hadith, Ahadu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made it manifestly clear that many a time the intention influences the actions. And in a manner that the actions may appear to be differently directed, but they ultimately reach their goal and end there. He explains, if one marries a wife for her beauty, a man marries a girl for her beauty and has her, then the purpose is ended. He's got her. But it will have nothing to do with God. If you pay anything for the sake of gaining good reputation, earning good reputation in the society, that he is a very great philanthropist, he serves the cause of the poor, then the object is met. You have got the fruit. No more. What do you expect from God then? So the intentions determine the nature of the actions, and they end with the actions once the purpose is achieved. But the actions of the Muslims must be determined by their intentions, which should always be directed to God. If the intentions are related to God, then they can't create limited actions which will end with the death. Already I have proved with reference to this hadith that the intentions give either a short life to the actions. The actions would correspond to the intention in the manner that you achieve the worldly purpose and both the intention and the action have come to an end, finished. If the intentions go beyond the limitations of one's life here on earth, they're related to God, and whatever actions follow those intentions, they also gain a sort of eternity. Then it is for Allah to reward them and to take account of them in the future after death. So these are such fundamental issues you are raising. there can't be any compromise on any worldly, with any worldly motives. Because then it will be just cheating yourself and cheating God. Some people do, but there we have our own limitations as well. We have to accept the cheating. If somebody says, I have become an Ahmadi Muslim, now we can't peep into the intentions. Although apparently he seems to be wrong, he is doing it for the sake of the wife, the girl, yet we will not penalize the family because we have to accept the intention on its face value. That purpose will be served, of course. But it's not of any avail to the person, nor to the girl, who escapes the sanctions from the Jamaat because the so-called would-be husband has accepted Ahmadiyyat. God knows best, and he can't be cheated. That, again, is a safeguard against anybody trying to cheat others because his intentions are not readable. Right? You should understand the whole issue in this larger, bigger perspective. Correct? Mm-hmm.